Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal PayMe link or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
Amen. Hallelujah. We are teaching about getting ready for heaven. Getting ready for heaven. So we are continuing with our series on heaven proofing a Christian, making sure that when Jesus Christ comes, you are ready. Ask your neighbor, are you getting ready? What is your neighbor saying? You know, there are so many nice messages I can preach. Very nice ones. Very nice messages. But those are my messages, you see. But if it's from God, it's not going to be nice. Amen. Sometimes I look at Christians and I think these people think heaven is their uncle's place. Not a nice thing to say, isn't it? Look at them, you think, oh, you know, at your uncle's place, you go anyhow, anytime, isn't it? Yeah. It's like it's guaranteed. But it is not. Many that say, Lord, Lord, will not enter. How do we read scriptures? Ask your neighbor, do you say Lord sometimes? Is it a yes? Is it a yes? It says many, meaning a bigger percentage of people who say, Lord, Lord, will actually not see him. And I hate to say that if we are not careful, some of them are sitting here who will not see. We are not careful. Are you still here?
Yes.
Many who say what?
Lord.
I cannot hear. Many who say what?
Lord.
Ask your neighbor, do you say Lord, Lord sometimes?
Lord.
What is the answer? Is the answer yes? Ask your neighbor, do you understand what the Bible is saying? That you may not. I'm not saying you will not enter. I'm not saying you will not enter. I'm saying you may not enter according to the Bible. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto the Lord, unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who? He that doeth what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. What will he find you doing when he comes? That's the big question. It's what we do, not what we say. You see that? You see that? Are you here? There are a lot of things that we say as Christians that do not count. Can I speak to somebody here? There's a lot of things we say that do not count anything. Including saying, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. I'm saved. I'm born again. Those things may not count if what I do is the opposite of what I'm saying. It is not easy to be a Christian, but some people want it to look easy. Why? Because they flow with the flow. They don't swim against the current. You see, the world is fashioned in a way that it is like a river that goes downstream. Those who swim with it will not struggle, but try to go up. You'll see how difficult it is. The world is structured against the flow of Christianity. If you are a Christian, you're going to walk against the current. From the time you wake up in the morning until you go to sleep, it's going to have to be said to be no to this, no to that, no to that, no to that. If you don't say no, you are going down the current. You're flowing with the river. Many Christians are like that. If you don't have oppositions in your life, you're probably going the wrong direction. Tell your neighbor, if you don't have resistance in your life, you are probably going the wrong direction. So I hate to tell you, neighbor, if you don't have challenges in life, you are probably, I'm sorry to tell you this, you are probably going the wrong direction. If you are meeting resistance, challenges, you are going the right direction. Congratulations. I say congratulations.
Amen.
There are some people who start business today and it flourish. You try start business, see what will happen. They'll come to you with how to start a business. They give you every tip that is available on earth. You implement it, it doesn't work. The reason you're a Christian. And then there is another person who does everything else. Everything that you do, they succeed. Why? Because they are not a challenge to anybody. The money that you're going to make is going to help somebody. Because you're a Christian. The money that you will make, you're going to praise God. You are a Christian. So the enemy, who, by the way, controls many people in the world. He controls even customers. He controls customers. Yes. Where to buy, not where to buy. Some of us, When we go buy things, we don't even pray first. We just go, I like that thing. You don't know who's influencing you to say you like this thing. Might be there's something that pulling you to that shop to buy that thing away from the Christian shop. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. There are many people who do the right things. You know, I was saying this other day that when people say, I have money because I work hard, they are insulting other people. Who does not work hard? Hello? It's an insult, isn't it? Who does not work hard? I want to then to see the hand. You say, I don't work hard. Do we all succeed? No. Maybe the problem is that you are a Christian. I hate to tell you that. Hello? Is this the message you want to hear? Or you want me to tell you you will succeed? No, succeeding you will, but all I'm saying is that it's not going to be easy. Because some of us, we look at the person next door and we judge ourselves according to that one. Can I talk to somebody here? Amen. You look at the non-believer next to you and you want to be like that person. Your path is not going to be the same. Yours might be actually hard. There's many things that your friend next door is going to say yes to that you're going to say no to. That's how your life is going to be blocked. You know, some people, when they get stock in their shops, somebody says, I've got stock. Where did you get the stock? No, look, don't worry. Just give me half or 50% of this and take it. They take it. You say, no, I'm a Christian. That's where your problems begin. Are you hearing me? It does not mean you cannot succeed, but you have to understand that you are going against the current. That's all. Don't feel bad. You will succeed. Tell your neighbor, you will succeed. But don't compare yourself with the guy next door, because your way is not the same. Your way is much harder, because you said, I don't want to compromise. I want to be a Christian. People get jobs just like that. You don't get a job. You don't know what they promise people behind the closed door. When you come there, you say, I'm born again. Say, neighbor, don't be surprised if you get what born agains get. Hello. I'm here to encourage you, not to discourage you. You're on the right path. Your end is much better than that one. We are not only looking at today, we're looking at tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus will make sure that you succeed. The principles of God are strong. Let me put it like this. The principles of God will make sure that if you follow them, you will succeed. Okay? That is what is embedded in the principles of God, that are in the Word of God. But the implementation is not easy. Are you hearing me? So, as a Christian, you must know that the world is against you. Hello. The world is what? The world is what? The world is against you. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Say never. The world has got xenophobia against you. So this xenophobia thing is not new. Christians have experienced it for years and centuries, because we are not of this world. Amen. Say never. The person who designed xenophobia is the devil himself. He started with Christians. Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? So, we are teaching you to know that as a Christian, you have to be conscious of the fact that all the time that the world is designed to oppose you. Amen? And if you just follow it, in no time, you will even lose your inheritance in heaven. That is the message. Amen? So today, we are going to talk about another aspect of what I've been teaching about for the past month, getting you ready for heaven. And that is from the teaching of Jesus Christ that oftentimes it's not easy to receive, but it's the truth. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew what? Matthew chapter 5. Verse 29. If your right hand, if your right eye, 29. Do you have 29? If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. So never, did you really hear that? Well, hello. If your right eye does what? Causes you to sin. Do what? Cut it out. How come we still have people with two eyes? Say never, how come we all still have two eyes here? Oh. Hello? If your eye causes you to see, in other words, if by the things that you see, it leaves you less of a Christian, less of a believer, more of a sinner. Remove it. How many of us have seen things that leave us feeling like hell, and we still have our two eyes? Hello? Are you still here? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you ready to remove your eye? Or you love your eye too much that you'll rather lose heaven? This is the seriousness of the question. Do you love your eye so much that you'll rather lose heaven? I'm not sure you're quiet. I'm not sure what you're saying. Are you here? Yes. Say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. In other words, remove your one eye. To save the rest of the body. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. What is Jesus teaching us here?
In Matthew 18, verse 8 and 9, repeats the same thing. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell fire. You see how serious it is to enter, how difficult it is to enter heaven. Hello. That is the seriousness, the message of this passage is that is the seriousness in which you must look at heaven and heaven's entrance. Am I talking to somebody? It is so serious that it's compared to this kind of things. Are you here? Am I talking to the right people here? It is so serious. That is what? Now, it is believed that this is what we call a hyperbole. Say hyperbole. It's something that is used to, which might be an exaggeration, but to emphasize the seriousness of something. I'll give you an example of what we call a hyperbole. So, in speech. Well, I don't think, I also don't believe that Christ was talking about us being, mutilating our bodies and all that, okay? I don't believe that. In fact, you can still mutilate your eyes and your hands and still have a sin habit in your heart. A sin still hidden in your heart. No hand, but your heart is still as sinful. You're not going to enter heaven. So surely he must be teaching us something else. Do you agree with me? Say, neighbor, I'm relieved. Sure. Amen. He must be teaching us something. And what is it? So, there's something called hyperbole in speech. It's an over-exaggerating of something to express the seriousness. For instance, somebody might say, everyone, he's speaking to you. He said, everyone knows this. Okay? Everyone knows this. Now, when somebody is surprised that you don't know something and they say to you, but everybody knows it. But is it true that everybody knows something? No. It's just an exaggeration, or everybody was there. It's not possible that everybody was there. They are trying to tell you that you should not have missed it. You understand what I'm saying? So there's so many of these things that we use in language every day to drive a point. And this is exactly what this parable, this teaching is doing. And what do these things represent? Are you ready for this? Now, one thing that you can see with all the examples that are being given, they're dealing with two things. It's not the part of the body that has got only one thing. It's always two that are being used in these teachings. In other words, when you remove one, you're going to be left with one. There's no way where he says, remove your heart. Because when you remove your heart, you're gone. Am I talking to the right people here?
Yes.
So it must be speaking about something that has got something with dual something or dualism. something that can be twice. Okay? Is it making sense? The hand, the eyes, the feet. Amen? Are you still here? Now, what are these things? You see, when we're talking about the eyes, we are talking about the things that we're seeing, isn't it? The things that we watch with our eyes. Hallelujah. And these are the things that we look at all the time, and when we look at them, they are leaving us in a less spiritual position than when we were before we started watching them. So it's not talking about one eye. It's talking about the things that we watch in a particular world. So, what does this mean? It speaks about the physical world and the spiritual world. You see, when you talk about the eye, you're talking about the eye in the spirit world and the eye in the physical world, okay? The things that we perceive in the realm of the spirit, that is, the things we believe, the things we hear, and the things we see in the realm of the spirit, not the things we see in the eyes, in these eyes. Are you with me? And then there is the seeing in the real world. Okay? So these are the two eyes, for instance, that he's talking about here. So there's the eye in the realm of the spirit. So there are things that we are seeing in the realm of, in the physical world, that entices us to love the world more than God. And every time we sing these things, we want to impress ourselves in the flesh even more because we are watching these things. Remember, an eye is a very important gateway into our lives. If you don't know, the eye is very, very important. Hallelujah. For light enters through the eyes into our bodies. Are you hearing me? So when the Bible talks about the eye, when it talks about the eye, it talks about the things that we can see, whether in the realm of the spirit or in the realm of the flesh. But there are things that we are seeing and we are watching that if we do not stop watching, we're going to end up in hell. Simple. Look at your neighbor. Say that there are things that you may be watching that are destroying your life. So when Jesus Christ says, cut the eye, means cut those things out of your life, or else you're going to end up in hell. And he says, what is the point of enjoying certain things in life? Are you hearing me? Enjoying certain things in life as opposed to cutting it out. In other words, there are things that we want to say, never. We must be honest as Christians, okay? Problem of many Christians are not honest. Say, never. Many Christians are not honest with themselves. There are a lot of things that we want to have, but we can't have them. Let's tell the truth. We are not dead. We are still alive. We have the flesh. Amen? There are certain things that we want to watch, but we are not supposed to watch. Hello?
Yes.
Don't say, I mean, I'm not double. You want them. You want them. The truth is that you want them, but you have to say, I'm not going to watch these things, because every time I watch these things, my Christian life suffers. Can I talk to somebody here? So Jesus Christ is saying, cut out those things out of your life. whether there are things on TV, whether there are things on your phones. Say never, whether there are things on your phone. People watch TikTok until 2 o'clock in the morning. TikTok, even last night. Then you wonder why you can't pray. Can I talk to somebody? Amen. You can see that this eye is causing problems in your life. Why don't you cut it? Hello? Why don't you do what? Somebody needs to do some cutting today. Senna, but do you know TikTok can make you lose heaven? No one is saying anything here. Because you can't do anything. It controls you. It's your God. Remember this. There are two gods in this world. You cannot serve both. You can only serve one. Anything that takes you away from God, what does it mean? It takes your prayer life away. It takes the Bible, studying Bible away. It takes worship. It takes everything away. That you must cut out if you want to make the list. Are you hearing me? Do you have young people here? Do you have young people here? You know, honestly, we have to pray for our young people. We have to pray for our young people. You know, even when they are sleeping, they are still watching the phones. They sleep watching the phones. God help us. You know, the eye is a very powerful thing. Eye is a very powerful thing. And if you allow anything to come through your eyes, you are in trouble. Are you hearing me? You are in control of what you watch. Amen. But you are not in control of what they give you. You are in control of what you're watching. You say, I want TikTok, but you're not in control of what TikTok gives you. They'll give you things. Even when you're sleeping, they'll give you things. These are not small people of God. Are you hearing me? So what am I saying to you? There are things that we must stop watching. That's how you cut your eye out. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? There are things that you must do what? You must just stop watching. You know, if you watch that thing, you feel less of a Christian than before you watched it. Who hears what I'm telling you here? Through our eyes, some of us are going to miss heaven. Unless we cut out the eye. What is the eye? The seeing. Ask your neighbor, what are you watching with your eyes? Upegele la anyway. With your eyes. For what you are looking with your eyes is what you are becoming. Refuse to watch things. That's how you cut, you know. Now, I talked about enjoying things in life or feeling part of life, that you're not missing anything in this life. If your life is like that, then heaven is going to be difficult for you. You've got to miss some things. Especially young people. When other people are talking about the things that they've watched, it's like everybody has to know it. And when you don't know it, you feel like there's something wrong with you. Can I talk to somebody here? It's like you're missing out on something. It's like you're ignorant. I mean, it was like that growing up with very less information than now. But I can imagine with younger people today. It's like you're living in another world, isn't it? If you refuse to know certain things that people know, you don't need to know everything. Let them know the things that they know. Let them destroy them. And you'll be saved. Am I speaking to the right people here?
Amen.
Say, neighbor, cut out your eye. Tell yourself, I don't care. I don't care what they are saying. I'm not going to watch it. Did you watch it? Can I send you the clip? Can I send you the video? Please send. They are tempting your eye. Hello. They are tempting what? They are tempting your eye. You got to say no. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. You know, when I was at university, I pretty much, I think, had my feet in both worlds, honestly. One foot was in Christ and the other foot was. So I had both my feet. Are you hearing me? I had my feet, both one in the world and one in Christ. I would be involved in everything that the world gets involved in, and I would be in church. And I did not see anything wrong with that. I felt that I was fitting in nicely. You know, I could, that's why I had Christian and non-Christian friends. So I was like that. I was appealing to both worlds. I had non-Christians and Christians. I was the center of attraction. On my right were Christians, on my left were non-Christians. I was the common factor. Hello? And I thought that was not bad. Amen? I was a Christian, but I was involved in organizing fresh balls. Is it called fresh balls? Freshers balls. Freshers balls. That's many years ago, freshers balls. We're organizing that. Liquor was free. We were the ones giving out liquor. I wasn't drinking, funny enough. But I would be there and giving them alcohol and see them getting drunk in front of me, from being these people to another person. And I thought there was nothing wrong with that. And many people were with me at varsity. They will attest to that. But it was so. I was like that. And even at SCM, I was very active. Well, not in leadership, but everybody knew he's a Christian. Amen. Then I was more in the leadership of the student body. You know, the cultural council. You know, I was in leadership there. So we were organizing all these things. And for me, that was okay. But later on, I realized that I was living a double life. I was living a double life. I had two feet. I still had two feet. Feet means there are places you're not supposed to go to. There are places you must not go to as a Christian. I mean, like, we'll start dancing from 11 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, and I'm dancing like for 4 hours and I'm not drunk and everybody's losing steps and say, and I'll still be there and dancing till 4 o'clock in the morning. Where do you find a Christian at 4 o'clock in a party? If you are like that, you must cut that foot. Are you here? I was like that. I was like that. That time there were no cell phones like this. You know, the first cell phone I came across was, I think, in my last year of university. And there are very few people who carried cell phones in the early 90s. If you had a cell phone, you must be either a doctor or somebody who deals with emergencies. You know, not everybody had those phones with them. Are you hearing me? But so we are not living in that time, and I'm sure if it's today, they would have taken a video of me dancing. 4 o'clock, Mzalwane. Are you hearing me? My wife was asking me the other day, why today you see Christians not seeing any problem posing with liquor and other things on social media or at these places? Kijes, there's bottles all over. And he's a Christian. Kimzalan is posting. No, I'm talking to somebody here. Amen. We are jessing. Say never, we are jessing. Jess, you go to jess clubs. People are drinking around you. And you even post on social media. I don't know if you have seen what I'm talking about. They are all wearing white. To show you that they are in agreement of something. Senebe, he's not talking about you, I'm sure. I'm sure he's not. One foot in Christ, one foot in the world, period. Yeah. Appealing to two worlds. There's no heaven for such people. Why are Christians not even ashamed of coming publicly in wrong places? Why? Why? Even taking photos, posing. They are not even saying, remove this honeycomb. Hello? They are not even saying, what, can we remove this honeycomb, people, I'm a Christian. They pose behind the honeycomb. Are you still here? Yeah. We see these things. People with one foot in the world and another foot in Christ, they are not ashamed of it. That's why Christ said, if you don't cut this leak that is in the world, you are not coming to my heaven. You go to another person's heaven. Not where I am. But Christians don't see anything wrong. Guru, as I said, it's like heaven is their uncle's house. Amen? You know, if you think your parents are going to be difficult on that day, you go sleep over at your uncle's place, you'll see them tomorrow. Because your uncle will say, okay, fine, come as you are. There's no amen, innit? Say, neighbor, hi, we love the world. You, we love the world. The world.
Mo le monati teng re aya. Lapha kumnandi khona siya. We don't even mind what's happening there. And these places are so dangerous that somebody could even be killed. Imagine a Christian dying. Because just what? Where they were shooting each other. Are you am I talking to somebody here? Yes. One foot in the world, one foot in Christ. No heaven for you. Don't make it. Amen. You see, there are places that you know you're not supposed to be, but you are, because you like it. Amen. It appeals to you. Amen. Let me talk about the things we listen to. There are also two ears. Anyway, there are also two ears. Let's talk about the things we listen to with our ears. Things we listen to. Hallelujah. The music. And these are entrances to our hearts. They are doors. Amen? Say never the things you listen to. Now, can I take anybody's phone now and play music on this speaker? And let's hear what is on that playlist. Can I do that? Can I take anybody's phone? Can I take your phone? And put it on the speaker now. What are we going to hear? Are you serious? The ones that are offering, I don't want. I want the ones that are not offering me their phones. I want the ones that are quiet. Hallelujah. One day, you will give me a lift in your car, and somehow your radio will come on, and then it will continue to play what was playing. And that day, you won't even know where the switch off button is. You'll go for the volume and take it higher. Or it will just refuse to switch off. Amen? Amen? Honestly, some of these earthly songs are nice. I want to promise you, it gets too much. Some of the songs are nice. Kuri hai papa la fella. Are you hearing me? Kapavaruti is not true. Some of these things are nice. They're nice to listen to. They're nice. You have to say, no, I don't want this music. No, no, no. Otherwise, yo. Even my body wants to go. I don't want to go, but my body goes. You have to say, no, I don't want to listen to this thing. Amen. Heaven
It's a place you work hard for. Work hard for. You have to cut out things you're hearing, things you're watching, things you are going to, places you are going to. Look at the neighbor. Say, neighbor. There are places you must not go to. Do your friends know you're a Christian? Ask your neighbor. Do your friends know you're a Christian? If they do, why do they invite you to wrong places where Christians don't go? Why? Because they don't take your Christianity serious. Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Your hands, say your hands. These are the things we get involved in. There are things that we are not supposed to be involved in. Amen?
Amen.
Things that go through our hands as Christians. You must even refuse to touch stolen goods. You must just even refuse to touch it. Don't be a conveyor belt. Nakia fiti safer. Don't even be part of it. It's stolen, I don't touch. There are things that you're not supposed to touch. Say, but there are things you're not supposed to touch. Don't. I won't even go deeper. There are things that you are not supposed to touch as a Christian. Your hands must be clean. If you get involved in things that are unchristian and ungodly, you have already chosen your destination. There are things you must refuse to be part of. Hand means involvement. Amen. As Christians, we must not be found to be part of something that is very bad, that will be so bad that when it came out that you were part of it. Amen? But here's the thing. Christ is telling us not to be involved in the things that are unchristian, unbiblical. Don't be involved. Hallelujah. Say, neighbor, don't be involved in things that are questionable. Hallelujah. You must come out of it. You know, today, when people hear that these things that are going on, they want to be part of it. And some of it has to do with money, for instance. You know, they want to be part of something that will end up destroying them. Amen? You are selling something that you don't even understand yourself. That when people lose their monies, it ends up with you. Don't be involved in such things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, neighbor,
don't be involved.
You are a Christian.
You are a Christian.
Everything that you must be involved in, it must be according to the Christian principle. You must see how people lose their monies from all these schemes and a part of that givers alone. You cannot be involved in that. Amen?
Amen.
Say, neighbor, you cannot be involved in questionable things. Hallelujah. So the hand means what? Involvement. Do not receive stolen goods in your hands. And do not steal. Do not steal. Sometimes we miss things even in the church. There are things we cannot account for. In the church, when we call people for altar call in some places, they will say, please don't leave your bags. Come with your bags and your cell phones. Hello? They say what? Why? Because kuna maselala. There are thieves in our, there are people who have got two hands in our midst. Are you hearing me? One hand is being used for the kingdom of darkness. We say the government is corrupt and South Africa is a Christian country. And we are saying people are receiving bribes. Who is playing all these games if it's not us? Who's paying bribes? Who's receiving bribes? It's people who refuse to cut their hands off, who are in the church. Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes.
We can easily receive things that are stolen. How much is it? You, I want this thing. What's that? Wouldn't give up. Do you know somebody could be dead because of that thing? Somebody could be dead. Do you think Christ will receive you into his kingdom when you have received such a phone that cost somebody else's life? No. But you don't think about these things because we want them so much that we can compromise anything. Are you hearing me? If we want to see heaven, we must cut off our hands. Hands that receives bribes, hands that pays bribes, hands that steal. Hands that are involved in robbery, Ponzi schemes, whatever you call them, they are robbery. The get rich quick scheme is robbery. Say neighbor, when they tell you, bring 100 rands. And then you'll get 1,000 in 1 month. They're going to steal that money from somebody else. Can I talk to somebody?
Yes.
If they come to you and say, put 100 rands, and in 1 month, you'll get what? 1,000. They're going to steal the 900 from somebody else. What do we do? We participate in these things. And then what they will do, they will give you your money back so that you increase your 100. That's how it works. I get it. They are playing on your greediness because people are greedy. They know we're greedy. So you put 100, you get 1,000. Wow. You put 200, you get 2,000. Wow. You put 300 to get 3,000. Woo, this thing is working. And something in you says, put 10,000, man. Because if you put 10,000, man, you're going to get 10,000 by, you're calculating in your mind. 10,000 by what? Satan, go for it, go for it, go for it. Woo, go for it. In your mind, you say, 10 by what? 9. 10 by 9. 100,000, woo! With 100,000, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3. I'm gonna do Satan. Yes, it will happen. Yes, go for it. I like it. Definitely feeling good that time. Eh? Then you go to the bank. You take a loan. You can see that the devil is the devil. Né? You go get what? A loan. That's the last time you see that money. The moment you bring 10,000, this one has drank this thing, has eaten it. The hand is now strong. For the biceps are how very strong. It's okay. Gone.
Somebody knows what I'm talking about here.
Yes.
Say neighbor, cut off this hand. No, I don't break any bank. I don't steal from anybody. Hey, the money you are receiving from these schemes, you are stealing. You are part of a grand, a gang. Are you hearing me? When you are getting your money, they are lying to another person who's in pain and crying. They are lying. No, the bank, we could not release money. Hey, what? Mut, give us 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Sada. Who is participating in these things if it's not us? Jesus Christ says we are not going to see his heaven. No. Say never your now. Cut off this hand. You obatla, cut it off. Cut this off. You cannot have everything. No. This hand, say never, this hand is gonna end you in trouble. Oh. Just cut it off. Hallelujah. Who's ready to chop off that hand here today? Hallelujah. So some things you must just say, I don't want this one. Zamayan Lydia, it's a na akio mo. In that way, you've just cut off your hand. You are saying, I'm not going to be part of such a thing. I will wait for God at his right time to do the things that he said he will do. Some people are depressed today. They are going for counseling because they have lost their livelihood. Oh, somebody needs to cut his or her hand off. Amen. So Jesus Christ says, it is better to enter heaven with one eye. What does it mean? How do you enter heaven with one eye? It means that you better enter heaven not having enjoyed things that people enjoy in the world. Because today, you have to say no to them. There are nice things in the world. Let's not lie to ourselves. There are really nice, good things in the world. Oh, say never, please be honest. There are very, very nice things in the world, honestly, that we are denying ourselves. We're saying no to them all the time. No, no, no. So when you are like that, it's like you are blind in one eye. In the world, you see, that's the language they use. When you are, what's the right English word? What's the right English word for this? You are so. Uvalegil. Udom. You're backward, eh? Something like that. You are backward. You don't understand things. You know, you are boring. Yeah, boring. Say never, please be boring. May the people who are ungodly find you uninteresting and boring. Not entertaining their conversation, not entertaining nothing. I honor you now, or bore. If you have earned that title of a boring person, I say to you, congratulations. In other words, you are a cripple. You are a cripple. You say, cripple cannot enter certain places.
unless there's a special design for them to go in. A cripple is disabled in the world. He can't do everything that other... You must be like that as a... You must be a cripple. That's what Christ is teaching us. You must be a what? A cripple. Just sit on that wheelchair. Amen? And know that when you don't have 2 feet, you can't stand up and dance. You don't have 2 feet. I'm just sitting on a wheelchair. Christ is saying, be a wheelchair-bound Christian. Uninteresting, boring, and not doing anything. I would rather have 1 foot than have 2 and go to hell. That is what the Lord is teaching us. Amen. Heaven is real. And by the way, we are not far from there right now. Heaven is real. And many are not going. It's not my wish. He himself said it. That not everybody who claims to know me will see my heaven. And he has said why. So people refuse to cut things off. You must cut it off. Whether it's what you're watching, whether it's what you're involved in, or whether it's places you go to, you have to do something as a Christian to show that you are serious about Christianity. People are not serious. People are not serious. People are not serious. They live anyhow. Sunday they come to church. They are not serious. 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in Christ. They are not serious. Cut off that foot that is in the world and lift the one that is in Christ. Cut that eye that is in the world and lift the one that is in Christ. Cut the hand that is in the world and lift the one that is in Christ. You will see his heaven. God bless you. I'm now preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he says, deny yourself, he meant it. You'll say, you see, when you're fasting, you are denying yourself something. Very nice things. Food. But you look at food and say, I'm not eating. I'm not eating. It's the same thing. Deny ourselves nice things. For the sake of Christ in heaven. Amen. Amen. What is happening in the world today has made living for Christ even harder. Harder than before. Let's be intentional. Let's be aware. All the time. Where we are. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.